Let's get to our guest. It's Thomas Fong, head of China Global Markets at UBS. Tommy, thanks for joining us here on the program. There's a little better tone in markets this morning. Some are ascribing that to the policy package from China yesterday. But as I pointed out earlier, we've had some brokerage calls, not least of which from Jefferies, saying there's nothing really exciting there. Your thoughts?
Well, first, thanks for having me, Brian. I do think China Asia market would continue to be in a range bound type of scenario in the near term, but there are potential upside, really, as you mentioned, driven by the policies. Besides what happened over the past 24 hours, the Central Bank of China continued to pump liquidities with a consistent cut on the rates for MLF, for LPR, and all of those could potentially really help the market, right?
Tommy, when we look at the likes of, say, what happened to Logan Group, though, how much does that just kind of really exacerbate the very big concerns you're seeing in the property market and how much further this potentially still has to run, which really just puts to that whole view of how investable is China?
Well, I think property sector has been, very well analyzed. So my view has been consistent in terms of the private sectors will continue to face pressure with the three red lines and the deleveraging efforts from the top. But overall, I think the state-owned and also the overall banking sector are very well sort of protected. So the key focus is really not to spin over from the private property sector's capital markets performance into the real economy and also the broader sectors.
Tell me, once we get past COVID, do you think that Chinese consumers will be, in a sense, liberated and just, explode with revenge spending? Or you think they might stay cautious given what's happening in the property market?
Well, that's a great question, Brian. I would think that the world is very much connected. The consumer's behavior in many ways are more similar than different. When we see the pump up demand across the world with the inflation we are in many ways still fighting against, China would be no different. Yes, the consumer confidence in China and a few other Asian countries are more correlated to the property prices, but the property prices are in some way kept in a relatively stable level.
Tommy, wanting to get more of your thoughts on where you invest. And yesterday, that XPeng conservative third quarter guidance very much disappointed market participants. But this is a sector that many people, including yourself, like. Tell us your views on the EV battery outlook here.
Well, I think our top ideas for China in the near term are indeed the upstream of the EV supply chain, which battery are included. Renewable as well, which really strengthens from the end of July Politburo meeting where we take cue. So that's really the area we'll have the policy tailwind as well.
I'm curious your thoughts about whether or not President Xi will get tougher or softer after the Party Congress.
Well, Brian, that's a great question. I don't think it's realistic to expect any senior leaders in major nation to really change their view dramatically. So I would definitely see that sort of a consistency to play out. But with the election out of the way, there will be new leaders in the standing committee of the Politburo, and the various state council and the government official will also be getting their new term. So therefore,
Tell me,
in
one
some
of the
way, their KPI will be renewed.
One of the reasons I mentioned that is that, you know, you see a push from Li Keqiang, the premier, that runs a little counter to what President Xi is espousing. And in fact, you even hear that a little bit from Liu He, who's the chief economic advisor to the president. So I'm just wondering whether or not there's potential there for a moderately big change in policy after Xi is ensured getting a third term. And I don't want you to maybe address politics, because that's really above both of our pay grades, but really as it applies to the economy and regulation.
Yeah, I think so. I'm cautiously optimistic. It's a bit of like, you know, a chairman is driving the direction of the company, where the CEO really need to deliver quarterly results. So Premier Li and whoever the vice premier in charge in the future will continue to focus on economic growth, which is good news to the market.
Tommy, what is the complication for authorities when you've got this yuan near a two-year low, and now this Reuters report as well that the FX regulator has warned banks against shorting the currency?
It is a balanced act, Julian, but overall, I would definitely see that PBOC a little bit more receptive in terms of a relatively weaker currency on the backdrop of, you know, U.S. dollar strengthening, right? And then it will help in many ways the exporting sectors, but they need to balance that in terms of the capital flow and also potential input of inflation, which is not happening yet in China.
I'm curious about your thoughts on high yield outside of property in China.
Well, you know, property is the, you know, the good, you know, 50%. I think with the current market dynamic, it will be quite challenging. I would say there will be spillover effect to the rest of the high yield in the at least near term.
All right, Tommy, thanks for your insights. Thomas Fang, head of China Global Markets at UBS, on the line for us from Hong Kong.